Okay, so for the next 2 weeks, we're going to try to deal with the sugya of mashkon in the context of ribbis. Now, there are really two entirely different discussions that come up in the context of mashkon. One is, as we'll see, ribbis issues that emerge when a mashkon was transferred from the lovet to the malveh. And now we have to deal with the issues of the fact that the malveh is maybe eating the fruit of the land that was the mashkon, and whether that creates ribbis problems because he's being paid back his loan and potentially also being paid back extra, shall we say, with the money that comes from the collateral, from the secured property. But so that's the first sugya. Now that sugya doesn't come up too much halacha l'maisa, but it sets up the yesodot for what is very practical but doesn't appear in the Gemara at all, which is the monstrosity of a siman. Double siman, actually. I don't know of any other case in Shulchan Aruch like this. Kuf samaches tes in Yerodea is one joint siman, it's a hyphenated siman, where it's nothing comes from the Gemara. It comes from, well, one line in the Gemara on Ayin Aleph, but the issues dealt with there are all types of mechanisms you could theoretically use to permit lending beribis by adding a non-Jew into the mix. But the Rishonim deal with all types of cases of what happens if the malve is a non-Jew and the lov is a Jew, but there's a mashkon and then the mashkon is passed on to another Jew, or it's a Jew to a Jew and the mashkon is passed on to a non-Jew, and all types of complicated cases. And mashkon sort of carries with it part of the loan and makes it a bit crazy. So that's what we're going to deal with next week. I know the sources look long. They're really not. They're mostly the tour. Because there's so much here, what I basically did was I took the tour and I outlined it. Like, none of that is my addition. You know, two pages in, that's just the tour broken up line by line so that you can see all the cases that come up, and we'll discuss as we go along. Okay, first introduction. There are different types of mashkon that the Gemara is going to deal with. And so a mashkon is very simply a collateral. But there are two main axes that distinguish different types of mashkon. One is what's called efshar ve efshar lisalik. The first question is whether when the borrower gave the collateral to the lender, does he now have the ability, if let's say, you know, it's a 10-year loan and 5 years into the loan he realizes he has enough money to pay back the loan, can he now pay back the loan and force the malveh off of the property? So in a mashkon she'efshar lisalik, he can. He's allowed to say, look, I gave you the collateral because it was securing the loan. I've now paid back the loan. Leave the property. Efshar lisalik is where we make a deal and we say, look, I'll lend you $1 million for 10 years and you can't pay back the loan for 10 years because if you do pay back, I lose the mashkon. I want the mashkon. I want that collateral. That's part of why I'm entering into this deal. Halachically, the reason that becomes relevant is because in a mashkon, she'efshar lisalik, there's more of an argument to be made that the property is not really a mere mashkon, but that it has been leased for 10 years. Now, if it's leased, so that makes it less problematic if the malveh takes the fruit, even though he's getting the money back, because it's, right, he owns the property. That's why he's getting the fruit. If it's efshar lisalik, rather, it's merely securing the loan. So then it really, at some level, is in the hands of the loveh, and therefore I'm taking the loveh's property during the course of the loan, and that will be a problem of ribbis. So as we'll see, efshar lisalik is going to be less problematic than efshar lisalik. That's axis one. Axis two is nichyasa or lo nichyasa, which is, do you deduct from the value of the loan per pick your interval of time period that the malveh holds on to the mashkon. In a mashkon b'li nechyasa, so I say, I lend you $1 million, you get the collateral, and in 10 years you still owe me $1 million, you know, I still get back my $1 million, and I just give back the collateral. B'nechyasa means that I deduct from the loan per year that I have the mashkon, but, and here's the catch, not commensurate to the actual value of the peiros that I consume. So I could consume $100,000 of produce each year from this million-dollar property, and we could set the nechiyasa at $15, right? And that in a year from now, instead of owing me $1 million, so you owe me $999,850, right? In the meantime, I got back my almost my full $1 million plus $1 million of produce. That's benichyasa. The third type of mashkon, which may or may not be the same as the second one, benichyasa is what's called mashkanta de sura. Mashkanta de sura was the minag in sura was that if I lent you $1 million, I would say, okay, I'm lending you $1 million, and in 10 years from now, the sada is yotze b'li kesef. So I give you back the mashkan in 10 years, but I don't get back my money. I mean, and that looks very much, or might actually be, just another way of calling it schiros, calling it a lease, right? I pay you $1 million, you give me the property, and it comes back in 10 years. The only catch is it's not totally clear that it's schiros, because what happens, and here's where it's not identical to schiros, if 5 years in, you come up with the loan, do you have the right to force me off the property early? Right? In a pure schiros case, obviously, you don't have the right. In a mashkanta de sura, even though it looks very much like schiros, that's not exactly clear. And I can do that, but that comes back to the first axis, which is efshar and efshar. So sura is a combination of nichyasa, but not totally clear on the axis of efshar, efshar, lasalik, where it falls. But it's going to be the least problematic of all mashkons because it looks like schiros, or in some level it is schiros. That's introduction one. Introduction two is that much of the laws of mashkon are predicated on the notion that the malve, once he has the mashkon, owns the mashkon to a certain extent. However, as you'll see in Rishonim, it's always possible that you're talking about two different things, because the mashkon has two parts to it. There's the collateral itself, and then there's the produce of the collateral. And you always have to clarify, are we asking a question about who owns the produce that comes from the collateral property, or are we talking about ownership on the property itself? So I just gave you a few, like, very basic sources just to sort of show the machlokot that arise in those contexts. Before we get into the Gemara itself, I don't know if it's better. I was debating whether it's better to do this first or then do the Gemara first and then do that. You know, there are benefits both ways. Let's look at the Gemara, right? The first introduction should give us enough to at least understand the Gemara in 8. So it's a long Gemara. Where it goes like this: Amar Marbrei de Yosef Mishmei de Rava, Hamashkanta Basar de Misalke. The lender gives collateral to the borrower gives collateral to the lender in a place where you have the right to kick the malve off when you come up with the money. So then, Achal Shir Zuzay, if he eats the amount of produce that is now equal to the amount of the loan, Misalkinen Lei, we kick him off, right? Because the logic is that if it's an asr de misalke, a place where I have the right to kick you off once I come up with the money, if you've eaten that much money from the property, so then that's the legal equivalent of me having come up with that money, and therefore I can kick you off the property. Achal tfei, but if you eat more, right, it's a $1 million loan, you consumed $1.1 million of produce, lo mifakin mine, I can't force you to pay, ve lo mechashvin mishtar l'shtara, nor can I use it to pay off another loan that I owe you, right? If I owe you two $1 million loans, right, and I have this collateral, which has now produced $1.1 million, I can't use it to knock off $100,000 from the other loan. Because that would be a problem of, as we've seen it all the way at the beginning, only by ribis de oraisa can you, are we motzi b'dayanin, do we force you using the courts to pay back ribis? But the assumption is that whatever potential problems here will be derabanan, and therefore I can't extract from you. If the borrower were orphans, was an orphan or were orphans, borrowers, so then it's more, we do remove it, and we do use it to pay off another loan. But Amar Rashi said it's not true. Once I tell you that if you eat $1.1 million on this mashkon, that I can't take that $100,000 from you, that tells me that this wasn't ribis de araisa. Right? Whatever the problem was, the fact that you were eating the fruit of the land even while you were going to be paid back the loan, that can't be ribis d'oraisa. If it was ribis d'oraisa, then I could even take the last $100,000. Therefore, achal shir zuze nami lo misalkin le below zuze. That means that any eating you do from this mashkon is at best ribis d'rabanan. Again, the Gemara hasn't explained what case yet, but whatever case it's going to be is only going to be d'rabanan, and therefore, under no circumstances can I ever deduct money from the loan, unless we said it, you know, originally with Nechiyasa, but if we didn't set that, so then I can't say, oh, it's ribis d'araisa, ribis d'abanan, and therefore you get your entire loan back. My taima, saluke below zuze, afuke mine hu, because if I, whenever I kick you off without paying you, that's no different than forcing you to pay me. And you can't do that because heavy avak ribis, this case is only rabbinic ribis, avak ribis in a yotze b'dayonin, and you can't collect that with judge, or you can't collect that in court. And Avad Ravashi uvdo b'yosomim k'tan g'dolim, and Ravashi even denied the yosomim issue because he treated the children like g'dolim. Okay, fine. So now the Gemara says, okay, well, what is this mashkon? What is the case? So Amar Rava b'rei d'rav Yosef mishmei d'rava. Hai mashkanta. In a collateral. Ba'asra de misalke. If I can kick you off, or I'm, who was I? I was the malveh. If, who wants to be the loveh? So we get a name here. Okay, BJ is the loveh. Fine. If BJ wants to kick me off, so that shows that the collateral really still is in his hands. So therefore, I lend $1 million to BJ. BJ gives me $1 million worth of property. So, you know, a one-bedroom house in Toronto. Fine. Now, doesn't have fruit. And that's going to be important. Okay, a vineyard in Toronto. Fine.
Also doesn't have fruit.
What?
Go on.
I mean, it has grapes.
Go ahead.
Whatever. Not the point. So, if he can kick me off out of the orchard, happy orchard, he can kick me out of the orchard whenever he wants, that shows that he still maintained rights over the mashkon, over the collateral. He's just allowing me to hold on to it as security, but from a legal perspective, he still owns it. So, lo neichal el b'nechiyasa. If I eat, so that's a problem. That's ribis. Why is it ribis? Because he's agreeing to pay me back $1 million, and he's allowing me to take all the fruit from the field that's legally still under his auspices, right? That means I'm being paid back $1 million plus, you know, fill in the blank dollars worth of fruit. That's a severe problem. If I want to eat, I have to eat b'nechiyasa. Right? The only way to justify that is to say, okay, for every year that I eat the fruit, we'll deduct $50,000 from the loan, regardless of how much money I actually eat. Right? Because, you know, we can set it up that I can sell you something at whatever price I want. I don't know how much it's going to be, so I set it at a price. But if I do deduct from the loan, so then it's going to be permitted. But a rabbi, a Talmud Chacham, couldn't even do that. He wouldn't be allowed, even under such circumstances, to eat it. So then how could I eat? Bikitsusa. What's kitsusa? So, as I mentioned, nechiyasa means that we set an arbitrary amount from produce, even that's not actually equivalent to the amount, or even if it's a lower amount than I actually got, right? So we set it, we deduct $50,000 from the loan per year, even if I make $100,000 profit from the fruit each year. Kitsusa is where we actually set. As much money as you eat, that goes towards paying back the loan, right? That's obviously not a problem, or right, the Gemara said that shouldn't be a problem because, right, it's just paying off the loan with fruit instead of with money. You can do that. So the Gemara says that's great if you think that's okay. Anichal mandem kitzusa sharia. Mandem kitzusa asira maikel memer. That's not clear that that's mutter either. Maikel memer to idmar kitzusa pligi baravacha ravina chadar mikitzusa sharia vechadar mikitzusa asira. I'm sorry, that's not what kitzusa is. That's what the Gemara is going to ask now, what kitzusa is. Right? So the Gemara says, okay, well, what is kitzusa? How is it different from nechiyasa? Like I said, this case, this Gemara is nightmarish. and the Rishonim are worse. But Heichidami Kitusa, what is Kitusa? The Amarle Adchame Shnin Achilna La Bilonichyasa. That's where I say, for up to 5 years, I will eat it without deducting. Mikanva Elach Shamina La Kulapera. Meaning it was what I said, just only after 5 years. It's the first 5 years, it's a mashkon where I get full benefit. The next 5 years, we deduct the actual value, right? So Kitusa means actual value. It's just that the normal agreement was that that deduction didn't start until sometime into the loan. So mandamer become maisa shari bivas raisa. If you allow nichyasa, you're definitely going to allow kitsusa, because if I allow you to deduct a symbolic amount from the mashkon, I'm definitely going to allow you to deduct a real amount from the mashkon. Manda aser bivas raisa. But if you forbid even kitsusa, I mean, even when I'm paying you the actual market value for the fruit and deducting that from the loan, what hechi dami lemeichel? Then hechi char lemeichel? In what cases will you ever have a collateral where the malva is allowed to eat anything? So the Gemara says, shari kemashkanta de surah. It's only going to be permitted in this mashkan of surah, which, as I mentioned, is this dekasu b'hachi, where I write mishlam shnaya ilain tepuk ara da below chisaf, or is it not kesef, right? Kesef. It is kesef? In Aramaic, it's also fine. Below kesef. Fine. When we finish these years, you leave for no money, right? That's like schirus. Repubber of Hunebre de Yeshua, Amri Travayu, Haimashkanta, Basa de Misalke, Ein Balchov, Govaymen, Uvena Bechar Notoba, Pishnaim, Ushmiyesh Mishnamata. Repubber of Hunebre, the son of Yeshua, say that if you have a mashkon in a place where Misalke, right, I have the right to be kicked, or BJ has the right to kick me off. So, the Balchov can't collect from it, right? A Bechor doesn't take double, because Bechor only takes what we call Roi Kibimuch, only Muchsak Velo Biroi. A Bechor only inherits from the property that his father holds at the time of death, and not property that might accrue to him after death. Therefore, even though the Mashkon is something that, if the guy doesn't pay back the loan, will go to the Malveh, since at the time of death, it still belongs to the Loveh, it only belongs in potential to the Malveh, therefore the Bechor won't inherit. Ushvius, Mishamata, and Shvius will wipe away the loan. Why? Because in order to wipe away, in order to protect a loan, so if you give a mashkon that you can't be Mesalik, so then what that shows is that the Malveh owns the property, and the therefore, the loan, when it's paid back, at some level is buying back the mashkon, and therefore Shemitah can't get rid of the loan, because the mashkon backs it, right, in a real way. There's money in the malveh's pocket, and therefore, when you pay back the loan, it's just redeeming at some level the mashkon. Uva'asr delo masalke, but if you can't be kicked off, so indeed it is in the property of the malveh, so balchov gove menu, ubechor no tel pishnaim, ve'en shviyas mishamata. Omer marzucha breder, mishmeder av papa, ay mashkanta basr de masalke, in a place where you can kick somebody off. Misalek leva fil mitamre di avudaya, you kick them off, even the fruit they've already picked. Right, the food they've already picked and they've put on mats, you can take that away from them. Right? As soon as BJ comes and said, "I want my orchard back," I give him back everything. You know, I even picked some of the fruit. They're sitting on the ground waiting for me to eat them. Too bad. They go back to BJ. But iag beinu besisne. But if I already did hagbah, I put them in a kli. So then kaninu. Then I've already acquired them and it won't go back. Uleman yamer shel kelev lokeach b'rishus mocher kana lokeach. If, however, you think that I can acquire property in the owner's property, so then I will buy it, that's a longer sugya for another time. Aviv vlogmenu besisne kaninu. So the word is pshita. Basr misalke v'amar lo mistalkina, hakamar lo mistalkina. In a place where they normally kick people off, if he said, I won't, so he can't, because he said he won't. El basr lo mistalke v'amar mistalkina. But what if the minag is that you can never kick off the malveh? And I say, I will kick you off. What's the halacha? My. So I can make that agreement, but tzarech lemikneh mineh, in order for it to be binding, do I need a kinyan, chalipin, or olo? Shrav papa amar lo tzarech lemikneh mineh, v'sheshes b'rei derav idi amar tzarech lemikneh mineh, v'hilcha tzarech lemikneh mineh, and the halacha is, you have to. Amar ezel v'ayzi zuzeh, if BJ comes and said, I have money to pay you off, lo echel, I have to stop eating the fruit. Also, va'atrach va'izizuzev, he says, give me a chance to go work and make money and pay off the loan. Too bad. In the meantime, I'm allowed to eat from the mashkon. So Ravina says, too bad, you're allowed to eat. Ravina says, even in that case, you are not allowed to eat. In the lochas, you can't. Rav Ashi, lo achil b'nechyasa. Ravina, achil b'nechyasa. Now going back to the beginning, Rav Kana, Rav Papa would eat when you deducted the symbolic amount. Ravina would not. And Amar Mazutra, taima demand achil b'nechyasa, midehav asteachuza. Why would we think that it is permitted to eat b'nechyasa? Well, he said, okay, there's a halacha called steachuza. What's steachuza? So steachuza is that I sell you my ancestral property. I'm a bad example. I'm a Levi. Someone who's not a... And BJ, you're a bad example. You're a Kohen. It's a really bad examples. Okay. Adam, bad example. Yaron. Okay. Yaron has ancestral property. If he sells it, which he really shouldn't do, so you have the right to redeem Stei Achuza all the way up till Yovel. And how do you pay it back? Well, you figure out. There were 20 years till Yovel. You can only sell property up till Yovel. I sold it for $1 million. So if I want to buy it 10 years, redeem it 10 years in, so I got to pay back the half a million dollars that's left. But in the meantime, what was I doing? I held on to the Stei Achuza. I was eating it. So you see that even though once I pay back the, you know, once Yaron redeems the property from it, essentially what happened was he lent me half $1 million, right? And yet I was allowed to eat the field that was essentially the mashkon during that time period. And that's why you're allowed to do that. I just did it b'nechyasa, because, you know, I deducted the amount per year. I'm eating a tremendous amount of fruit, and I'm only paying back a symbolic amount, namely, what, you know, in this case, 50% of the value I paid for the property, no matter how much fruit I ate in the interim. Amar Rachmana Kaparak Lebar Zuze, you can buy it back for, you know, whatever you bought it for. So Hachanami Loshna Uman Da Asr, and the one who forbids it says Amar Lachas Dechuz Hakdeshi Rachmana Ukme Apidyon. That's a unique case, and you can't prove any. Why Stechuz is unique? It's fine. That learn Erechan. But here it's a loan, and this is the problem, and it's a problem of ribis. And then the Gemara comes to its conclusion, finally, Amar Ravashi, Amar Lisava, Demasa Machasya, Stam Mashkanta Shasa, if you don't specify how long you have a mashkan for, it's for a year, Lamai Mafkamina, what's the relevance of this? The Achale Shasa, Matzi Mesalikle, Vilo Matzi Mesalikle, Vilo Lo Matzi Mesalikle. So, right, if he's eaten for a year, right, BJ has to give me at least a year to benefit from the orchard. Until a year, he can't get me off. Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Lisava de Mas Mechasya, my Mashkanta. What does the word Mashkon mean? The Shchuna Gabe, that it dwells with the Malva. My Mafkamina. What's the halachic issue here? The Lidina de Bar Metzra. Bar Metzra means normally that I have to give first dibs when I sell property to my neighbors because they might want to have two contiguous pieces of land. If I hold BJ's mashkon, I have first dibs on that property if I want to buy it, even over other neighbors. Okay, that was a very complicated Gemara, so let's try to tease out the main points out of it. Right, the Gemara, as I said, introduced right these three factors or categories of mashkon. Right, there's the question of misalke or lo misalke, and the Gemara made it clear if BJ can kick me off the field, so then it looks much more like BJ still owns the mashkon and he's just lending it to me and allowing me to take the fruit. That's really bad halachically, because in the end of the 10 years, I'm going to get back $1 million, plus I'm going to have been allowed to eat from BJ's property, let's say another $1 million worth of produce. It looks very much like $1 million of ribis. As we'll see, according to some Rishonim Ribis Daraisa, according to some Derabbanan, if he can't kick me off, so then the mashkon looked a little bit more like not BJ's, which he's allowing me to benefit from, but something that he's temporarily sold to me as part of this deal as a security, and therefore I'm not eating his produce, I'm eating my produce, and it looks just slightly less bad, but still pretty bad. And that's why that's only the, right, Efshar Lesalik, or Lo Misalke, makes it slightly less problematic, but doesn't make it enough to be Mutter quite yet. Factor two, Nichyasa, is symbolic payment. So nichyasa clearly makes it better, because now, you know, I'm getting I'm deducting $50,000 from the loan per year that I eat fruit. So it looks like he gave me the mashkon. And the reason I'm benefiting is not because of ribis, but as a way of paying back. Below nechiyasa obviously looks worse because I'm not deducting anything, so it looks like I'm just getting stuff for free. But that's still not the best because BJ's, you know, giving me $100,000 worth of fruit per year, and I'm only deducting $50,000 from the loan. So that looks pretty bad. Not as bad, but still pretty bad. Kitsutsa looks a little bit better than that, because then I'm actually deducting the value of the fruit, but only after 5 years, right? Or whatever agreement we make. And mashkanta de sura looks the best, because it's, you know, 10 years where he can't kick me off, and in the end, the loan just disappears. So it looks very much like schiros, even though we called it a loan, it looks very much like schiros. So the machlokas that... How am I going to do this? You know, I'm just going to go straight into it, and when I go back to the bialis points, I'll come back to it. The Rishonim, therefore, take those factors and then argue, okay, well, what's deraisa, what's derabbanan? Now that question really comes down to, and this is the sources that I've given you, in 2 to 7, what drives the machlokas Rishonim is, how much do you think a mashkon is actually owned? Right? When BJ gives me the mashkon, so... to what extent is it mine by right? Is it mine? Therefore, when I eat the fruit are just a product of my property. And to what extent is a mashkon always considered really in the ownership of the lova, in this case BJ, and therefore, even when it looks like it's mine, it's not, and therefore I'm eating ribis. Now, as I said, you have to ask that question at two levels, right? One is, to what extent does the malva own the real estate, and to what extent, too, does the malva own the right by right rather than by ribis the produce that comes from it? The more you think that in every case of mashkon, or in a given case of mashkon, the malva owns the property, the less ribis problems there are, because the more it looked at halachically as if he's eating his own fruit. The more you think that a mashkon really remains with the lova and the malva just is allowed to use it, the more problematic it is, because the more it looks like BJ is just giving me double my loan plus extra fruit. The lumdus of mashkon is hard, because the Gemara has many, 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 many discussions about mashkon and ownership. Cases of mekadesh b'mashkon, which is a multiple way machlokas, what that even means. So this question of to what extent you own a mashkon comes out in many places in Shas, and it's very hard to sink your teeth into it. I'll just give you the summary, which is that some Rishonim seem to think that in every case of mashkon, the malva really owns it. Others seem to think that the lova really owns it. And then there's a middle position, which is to say that the malva sort of owns it. Right? Then halacha, we don't view bailus, we don't view ownership as a single, right, that it has to be unified. You can divide ownership such that two people could be owners simultaneously for different purposes. Right? I gave you, you can read it inside later, but I gave you in the Nesiva Shalom in 7, where he just notes that that's what he thinks a mashkon is. A mashkon is something which is owned by the lova, but the malva has enough rights over it such that he is also a halachic owner. His proof to it in our sugya is basically that the Gemara clearly treats certain types of mashkons as actually owned by the malve for purposes such as Bechor Notel Pishnayim and Shemitah. On the other hand, we have ribis problems, which tells you that it's not fully owned by the mashkon, and therefore, for our purposes, not fully owned by the malva, partially owned by the lova. So I'm going to go with his argument, which is the reason mashkon is so complicated is because a mashkon is always partially owned by the lova and partially owned by the malva, and the struggle of the Gemara and the Rishon is to try to figure out to what extent does the Malva's ownership extend over it, and is it enough to remove Ribis problems? But no one denies that it's partially owned by both people. That's why this sugya is a nightmare, right? I gave you sources. You can look at the Rishonim who take the different approaches. I'm going to take his middle approach because it's 11 o'clock and now we're only hitting the Sagan. I've spent too much time on Mashkon. Okay, let's look at the Rishonim. The Rif, number 9. The Hamashkan to blow Nechiasa. So how do we read it? If you have a Mashkon without Nechiasa, you don't deduct. Kaimalam kiravina deribis ktsutzahi viyotze bidayanin. Dehavyala kalvenia manashatochal sadazubachinam. Dehainu ribis ktsutza. The way the Rif combines all these axes at the end of the day is any mashkon that doesn't have a deduction, the mashkon remains legally in the property of the loveh, so in BJ's property, and therefore it is ribis ktsutza. Right, it's ribis daraisa. Why? Because BJ's deal with me essentially was that I'll lend him $1 million. At the end of 10 years, he'll give me back $1 million and 10 years worth of produce. If there's no deduction, so everything else is irrelevant, it becomes ribis daraisa, ribis ktsutza. V'ika demanda svir like ravina bezvina bilachud ava mashkanta ava ribisu umokim lahav v'mashkanta below nechiasa. He said there are some like ravina and would say that it's only avak ribis, but he, the Rif himself, thinks that it is avak, it is ribis daraisa in any case when there is no deduction, because again the mashkon remains in BJ's property legally, and therefore when I get back my $1 million plus 10 years worth of produce, I am taking ribis. I'm taking more than I got, and I stipulated it at the outset, so it is ribis daraisa. Yeah.
I guess conceptually, for me, it's not 100% clear. The fact that I can repay the loan early and kick you off of the property, how does that affect my... I mean, in the end of the day,
because
repay the loan early or I repay it...
Because if I can...
To the Rif, it doesn't matter.
For the Rif, it doesn't matter, right? The Rif, in the end of the day, his maskana is that the only access that matters here is Nechiasa. And on the level of Lasalik, Lo Lasalik, we'll see... he thinks that we reject that distinction.
Right.
We only accept Surah versus everything else.
So I guess that looking at this Rif takes me back to, for a second, conceptually, maybe this isn't the place for it because we want to go through the different Shitot, but
I mean, the Rif
is something to be said as far as, you know, why we make this distinction. In the end of the day, both in a situation, I mean, doesn't my ability to kick you off or not just... something that's reflected in the contractual terms of the loan?
So you could view it that way. I mean, the Rif, in the end of the day, basically right says lasalik, lo lasalik are irrelevant, right? Both of them, even if I can't kick you off, that's just because I agreed not to, but it's still the loves. The only case where he thinks that that's not true is mashkanta desura. Right? Mashkanta desura, where I say in 10 years, right, you can't kick me off, and in 10 years you get the property back, and you don't pay the loans. He said that's skiros, right? But you're right. The Rif,
100%.
Correct.
But I'm going back. I'm just asking: is the fact that is the fact that I can't
kick you off
less of a say with regard to when I can repay the loan means that the loan indicates more of sale, right? A temporary sale,
right?
And I, you know, I'm...
correct, right? That's the way the Rishonim assume it, right? If I can't kick you off, it looks more like a lease,
more like a sale.
A lease, yeah, sure, a temporary sale.
If he cannot,
if I can't kick you off, correct?
Right, but a sale.
Right, I mean, schiros is mechaliyoma, but
no, I mean, as opposed to a schiros, as opposed to a mashkata desura, which the contract in the end of the day is that I get my land back, but I don't pay you anything.
Oh, sorry, no, EF Shirley just means that I can't kick you off until the end of the
loan period, and you decide, right? I have
no. There's still a time limit on the loan.
100%. But when it's what I'm trying to say is that in a case of Eif Shar L'Salik, as opposed to a Mashkanta Desura, at the end of the day, I have to repay the full principal of the loan in 10 years.
Correct.
I have to repay. So it's much more similar to a full sale of the property. For those 10 years, I own the land.
Okay.
I can do whatever I want with
right.
the land. I can eat all the
right. I mean, whatever. It's,
still get my
it's a temporary sale, but sure. Yeah.
Right. So that's
yes.
exactly my question. My question is, why conceptually do we see what you're saying is it's temporary, just like the case in which I can repay the loan at any point and kick you off at any point is temporary.
Well,
it's just in terms of the loan itself.
Well, for the Rif, yes. Meaning Efshar L'Salek and Efshar L'Salek, he thinks, or both, right? Both in the end of the day, it's just the terms of the loan, right? He doesn't right. think that you ever get ownership except in Mashkanta Desura, and that's right. why he rejects the axis in the end of the day, right? The way he interprets the Gemara is that we basically reject the axis of Efshar or Efshar L'Salek and say that neither of them...
I understand what you're...
Now Rashi says that's not true. Rashi takes the position that no, even in such a case, it's derabanan. You look at in 10, right? On Daf Samach Beis, he said, "V'dinenu ein machzir and avak rebezu came to zimun shenos and peros shakramim lokim einzu rebezutza." Rashi says no. Even in this case, it's rebez derabanan. Why? Because he said, "Look, it's not ktsutza because maybe there'll be no fruit."
Right, the tzarechad beribis discussion.
Right, because of tzarechad beribis, but not quite. Right, right. It's not exactly tzarechad, and that goes back to a discussion we had a long time ago. But Rashi says, look, it can't be ktsutza because ktsutza is, BJ says, sure, I'm borrowing $1 million, I'll give you back 1.1. Here he's saying, I'll give you $1 million back plus 10 years worth of fruit. If, you know, we live in Nagid, South Florida, right? And so, sure, I built a beautiful orchard. I thought I was going to have $1 million worth of oranges, and lo and behold, a Category 5 hurricane hits with 185 mile an hour winds, right? So, by the time they rebuild it, right, and replant and everything, I'm going to get nothing. So, it's not, right? It's not katsuts. And therefore, Rashi says, no, it's not ribis del raisa. And on 11, he says the same thing. Mashkanta mayim mishkin lo sadav lo katsi mo lechol peres lo shem ribis el estam v'yored v'asam v'lo v'achal. Right, Rashi, right, says, he said, it's lo katz, right, right, it's not katz, right, he doesn't say it's ribis drabban, he said it's not called, right, it's not called ktitza.
Is katz, what is that? An exact amount, whether it's a percentage or a dollar amount?
No, it doesn't matter, right?
Well, the Lokatz case here was nothing.
In other words, you're right. So this Rashi is just, like, whatever. I just put Rashi in this sugya. The main sugya one is on in number 10.
Lokatz here was, this isn't a term of the loan. Well,
yes.
You can eat.
So, right. Now, here he said it's not because you didn't set it as a term of the loan, and therefore it's not Ribiz Del Raisa. Now, the Ritva doesn't like this. The Ritva says, what are you talking about? Who cares whether I said it, I didn't say it? Sorry. Okay, let me go back to that Rashi. Sorry. Rashi number 11. In 10, Rashi says the Ribiz is not Del Raisa is because it might not produce. In 11, Rashi says that it's not Ribiz Del Raisa for a different reason, which is I didn't stipulate explicitly. Right, a classic ribis case is where I say, I'm going to give you $1 million, giving back 1.1. Here I just say, I'm giving you $1 million, you're giving me a mashkan, and we just elide the details here. We don't talk about the fact that I'm going to take it. So that's not katsut. So Rishma said,
presumably, according to Rashi, if he would have said,
but I'm giving you,
and you can eat the fruit, and that's
ribis. Right, so in 11, it would be ribis deraisis. The Ritva says on that second Rashi, what are you talking about? Vayner nachod came to Mishkan Losam v'ochel peres v'akeren kayim areza kakotzet b'fir v'stamo kepeirusha. What are you talking about? You gave me a mashko, and you're allowing me to take the fruit. Who cares? I didn't verbalize that it's l'shem ribis. That's like me saying, okay, I'm lending $1 million to BJ, and I tell him, give me back $1 million. I don't know what's the equivalent, right? Right? And he throws me his car keys, right? He doesn't say anything. He just threw me his car keys, right? Like, right?
With the mashkon question. This is a discussion of what defines ktsitsa.
Right. So the Rishon says, what are you talking about? So here I just gave the Lecha Mishnah and the Machane Ephraim just within Rashi. They're arguing the second Rashi. What's he talking about? The Lecha Mishnah really has this bizarre position in Rashi that you need to verbalize that something's ribis in order for it to be ribis. Right, Razam Shomer behedi l'shem ribis b'scharam tanas moz avon lo hizkir b'scharam tanas moz avo b'shiyomer ani yomashkinos al menashe tadur lo avir ribis ktsutza. Right, the Lecha Mishnah derives from this that Rashi has a weird position about ktsitsa, which is that I don't say this is interest, it's not interest. I don't know why this is true, and no one knows why this is true. For that reason, the Machane Ephraim in 14 says, I can't believe any person, definitely not of the stature of Rashi, ever said such a thing.
Did he ever say it not in the context of Mashkon?
No. No. So the Machane Ephraim suggests a different way of understanding Rashi, which is... right, he says Ibrud Lufiza Kosher Mind the same. Rashi Batam Sagam and Chiosev Evak Ribis Lufiza Ainoladas. Rashi's Al Koshinist and Behed Yoshiochal Pairs of Ribis Gamur. He quotes this Rashi, and then we just get his main line. two lines from the bottom. V'hainu time a chayven shazelon is chayv litain a davar tolo lo v'hainu time the chayven shazelon is chayv litain ela hadavar tolo birtsono lave ribis ktutza. The reason is because a mashkron is a bit different because the malva didn't force it. The love, right, offers up a mashkon. Ktutza requires the malva to impose rather than the love to accept. Now that has wide ranging implications for other things in ribis. So it was important to introduce. But I'll leave it with that. But what we have, therefore, so far is that the Rif thinks that a mashkon bilinich yasa is ribis daraisa. Rashi thinks that bilinich yasa is dirabanan, but either because you don't know how much money you're going to get, or because he has this bizarre position that you actually need to verbalize it, or because it's accepted by the lova. Okay, that's just to see those inside. After that, I gave up on seeing them inside, and I gave you the tour. So here's the tour. It's the outline of every position that you can possibly have in this sugya. Okay, so let's just go through it. Mashkanta, mishal avamoz mechaviru mishkan lo sadei lechol peiro. So, there's two possibilities. Yesh mekamo shenoagin she'ina lova yachala frauds manchekoven shneim. Sometimes you aren't allowed to kick the guy off. That's if shar lesalik. Case two. Yesh mekamo shenoagin she'achol lifto so ha'imasai she'irtza achar shana rishona. V'gama mava yachal lochal v'lova she'evdeno ha'imasai she'irtza. In some places, I can force you to pay. I can force you to accept payment early. Then, uvim makom shenogin sheyachol avdosa domitfei liribis. Right, this is the point I made before. If I can kick you off, it looks more like ribis. Shazad the hibershus.
Sorry, v'gam hamalva yachol lova.
That's interesting.
That's not. That's not right. You just rendered it as lova lamal. That's a very different force.
It's v'gam. It's both. Right. Shenogin sheyachol avdosa mishayshi yirtzachar shana rishona v'gam hamalva yachol lova shivtein emasayshi yirtza. The lova can force the malva off. The malva can force the lova to redeem it early.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
With what?
That implies a completely different type of
law. Yeah, it's
calling the loan.
Right.
I mean, right. You can't do that.
Yeah, it's a it's a temporary loan. What? I'm copied the tour. I literally copied the tour. I didn't write that in. Trust me, I wouldn't write that in. Right.
Is that an error or like what?
Really, you can't get away with something like that. And the country with laws.
Unless
the answer is that what he... No, that doesn't make sense. No, it sounds like he...
It sounds even after Shana Rishona, presumably, right? After... Right, you have at least a year. I'm assuming that's how the Torah understands it. You have at least a year, right? Stam mashkanta shasa is that for a year I can't force it, but after a year you can force me to.
Is this a halva stam originally?
Yeah, it's halva. It must be right. Otherwise,
I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, I think this is the way the Torah understands Shana Rishona, right? That for a year it's a stam loan. We have a year. After a year, we can just go. You know,
I wish I had my tool with my notes.
But this isn't the regular. How does this differentiate if you're saying that it's a halva stam, which implies that it's a year long, and then after a year...
So after that, we can just allow the loan to continue.
That we understood in the Gemara that halovei chalifto to emetai sheyirtze, because technically the term of the loan is for 1 year, and then yecholif doto at the end of the term, meaning at the end of 1 year.
Right, but meaning after a year, right, the loan...
After a year, then the... Both
well, no, well, no, the Gemara... No, the Gemara says explicitly, right, that Shasa, at least a year... The way he's reading it is that at least a year, you can't kick him off. After that, the loan has no date in either direction, right? You can both...
Right, but it sounds like something different than what we understood in the Gemara. We understood in the Gemara that the case in which yecholif doto is a case in which the lova has a certain right to go against what the original terms of the loan were. He has a right of early repayment and can kick off the malva, and that theoretically affects the malva's ownership over the
right,
collateral.
Which it does and mean. And then in addition, what are you looking at pre-show?
Yeah, the pre-show. The pre-show says that he says two things. Number one, he seems to understand this case as a case in which where you live, the term of the loan is that the borrower has to have funds in escrow somewhere that could be used at any time if the loan is called to say, okay, now I am going to buy this back. But he says, indeed, after Shana Rishona.
Right, so after Shana Rishona.
We don't expect at that point, why is he borrowing money?
So that's what the Gemara is.
But this is collateral for the collateral.
Sort of.
to be poded.
So he's saying that the Torah is talking about a very specific type.
Well, that's how he understands that's how he understands the Gemara
from the way we had understood.
I mean, he's saying that Efshar L'Salek means Efshar L'Salek in both directions, just after Shana Rishona.
Yeah.
Right, and that's how he understands the limitation.
Efshar L'Salek be once again going back to the logic which the Rif doesn't accept. Then why, if that's what Efshar L'Salek means, why does that seemingly imply that the Malve has less of an ownership right over the land than the
because in the end of the day the Lova owns it forever. It's the Lova's property.
No, I know.
Right.
But here it's not like we're giving the Lova a specific right.
No, we're allowing him to buy it back, and we're allowing the Malva to force him to redeem it. Right? The Lashon HaPidyon. The Lashon HaPidyon implies no. That's exactly the point. The fact that it can be the fact that I can force you to be podet means that both of our rights are predicated in the notion that it's really yours. Right? I mean, the Lova's right to redeem it is based on the fact that it's really his. The Malva's right to force the Lova to redeem it is based on the fact that it really belongs to the Lova.
But what happens if he doesn't redeem it? If we're not talking about what he gets it. The Malva basically says
then it reverses
it's no
the Malva.
Then it reverses. Right.
Right.
Right. Right. But both of those imply that it really belongs to the Lova. Right? So what the Torah says is, right,
imply more that it belongs to the Lova than a case in which neither the Malva nor the Lova can redeem it until
because that means it's staying in the property of the Malva till the end. Right? The more that it's entrenched in the Malva's property, the more it belongs to the Malva. The less it's entrenched in the Malva's property,
right,
whether that's because of his rights or the Lova's rights.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't understand how that means, how that's our logical conclusion from saying that both the Lova and the Malva can
because that shows that it's less entrenched in the Malva's property.
Because the Malva can say, "I'm forcing you
to redeem it." The Lashon there is important, but redeeming it
to redeem the land,
which tells you that it's yours. Right, that's the whole point. Is I can say that we're done, right?
Even though the practical implication of that is
correct,
that the Malva's gonna take it.
Yes. Correct. Right. Meaning, again, let's take the hurricane case. Right. What you're really saying is, look, this is collateral, but I don't trust your collateral because a hurricane is coming at it. Right. So take back your property and give me back my money. What does that show? That it's right. If it was my property, then I'd say, oh my God, a hurricane's coming at my property. But that's the fact that Malva's reaction is no. Take your property back and give me my money shows that it's really his. So when is it get after L'Salek? So the Torah says, "Mamakom shenagin she'achal of dosa domet fei l'ribis shasadi b'rishos halove v'imkein amos hem b'toras halva b'yad halove." If that's the case, it looks much more like it belongs to Lova, and therefore the Malva is eating ribis. Two, avol b'mamakom shenagin she'lo liftomes. But if you're not gonna, you can't redeem it, right? Domi tvei l'mecher. Then it's more like a sel ki'ilu, right? The Torah, remember when I said, the reason I go with the Nesivos Shalom's middle formulation is because I think the Rishonim, for the most part, go in this direction. You look at how many hedge words the Torah has in that line, right? Dummy Tvei. It sort of looks more like a Mecher Ki'ilu, as if, right? He's hedging. It's not a real sale. It's not really owned. It's sort of somewhat more like a sale, and therefore somewhat less like Ribbis. It's not totally not a sale, or totally a sale, and not totally not ribbis-like or ribbis-like. It just, right, we're talking, right, quantitatively. We're moving along the spectrum. It says, ki'ilu gufasa denimkar lo atzman v'ika hetera tvei. So it's more mutter. What's the implication? So, hilkach l'rashi, there are three implications. Basar delo misalke, shari afilu blo nechyasa. If I can't kick you off, so Rashi says it's mutter lechatchila, even without deduction, because it was a sale. Ba'asr de misalki, if I can kick you off, below nechyasa, without deduction, have a avak ribis veina yotze bidayanin, and if it's efshar l'salek, and it's nechyasa, so then it's just mutter, right? Nechyasa shari. And what is deduction? It's a set amount per year, regardless of whether more or less fruit are produced. And that's why it is mutter, because it's karav l'schar l'hefsid, because I could lose out on this deal, I could gain on it. That's Rashi's position. The Rif, on the other hand, and it's Rabbeinu Chananel as well, if I can kick you off and I don't deduct, have a ribis ktsutsa v'yotze b'dayanin. B'nechiyasa, if I can deduct, it's still usser, but have a avak ribis, then it's obviously only avak ribis because I'm taking a deduction. Three, v'asr delo misalke, But I can't kick you off. So vein v'nechyasa, vein below nechyasa. So then if I can't kick you off, so since it looks like a mecher, it's, but if I'm, so then it's, right, not daraisa, but in both cases, avak ribis, the only, so the riff ends up saying, right, if you have both negatives, it's daraisa, right? If you have one positive, meaning either it's EF Shalal Salik or it's Binich Yasa, it's Dirabanan. But all three of those he thinks is Asr. The only case the Rif says is actually Mutter, right? So there's one case Daraisa, two cases which are Dirabanan. The only case which is Mutter is Mashkanta Desura. Vein Hetel Lushum Mashkona, Elekain Mashkanta Desura, Shemashkan Lushan Yeduas, Vikosuba Mishalam Shnaya, Elaine, Tebukarab Lochezev, etc., etc. Vichia Gavna Sharia, Filu Marchevas Manarbe, Achein Magil, Cholshon, El Devermu. It doesn't matter how many years it is. The Chivin Shekosov Schum Kol Ashonim, Kolshon, Bekach, 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 Vein Yachal Halos, Becholshon, Yosir, Mashakotsev, Emo, Lodomi Lehalva, Elekilu Machalo Peres, Becholshon, Vishana Bikach Bikach Afa Pishyach Lasalka Bukhal Shana Vijala. And he then adds that he's willing to deal with the Mashkanta Desura even if you hold Efshar Lasalik. Right? I mean, he's willing to say that there's such a thing as a Mashkanta Desura but Efshar Lasalik. Why? Because then what am I really saying? I'm leasing you the property and giving you the right to buy it back, but it's a lease. Right? It's actually a lease. Said as long as it's Mashkanta Desura, it's Mutter. And once it's Mashkanta Desura, then he's willing to be Megil, even on Lasalik, because then it's only the terms of the agreement. Right? It's not showing that I don't own it, I really do own it. It's just that I gave you the right. I'm a nice guy, I gave you the right to buy it back. Ukimishalko, Minakalo, Vapiris, Lufisham Shachal, and then we'll just, you know, work it out. Cases three. Vafilu ba'asri de misalke de mechse keribis. Even in a case where I can't kick you off. So everyone agrees that it's problematic. So, im omer alova chashuv apeira, chichuv apeira shachalta vitinako, sam bechov chasheni rotse litin lecha ribis, lo shaminin lay. So we tell you, we don't let you get out of it later and say, well, just deduct from it because it's avak ribis. We aren't yotzei binayan and kol shekein machal yoser shein motzien mimenu sheinu el avak ribis v'yama sakin lebilo zuze. If we'd forced you off without paying, have a kilo motzien mimenu. So then it would be ribis. It would be like it's ribis daraisa, which it's not. Right? Shemitchil lo achlo b'toras pira on chova elkach lo masal kem blei lo zuze. So, to the Rashi, I feel lo nechiasa again. To remember, according to Rashi, this is true even if I didn't deduct. L'rach, l'rav ilfes ben nechiasa, according to Rabbi Nechanan on the Rif, this is only true if it's without deduction. But if it's misalke and no nechiasa, according to the Rach and the Rif, it is ribis d'arais and therefore you are motzi. And three, adoni avirash, hiskim l'divei Rashi, chen kazav aramam. So Rashi and the Rif say, if I can kick you off, but you deduct, so then, if I can kick you off and you don't deduct, according to the Rif, it's Daraisa, according to the Rashi, it's still the Rabbanan. If I can kick you off and it's with Nechiasa, so according to Rashi, it's Mutter, according to Rif, it's Asur Midir Rabbanan. Next thing, D, the kol madach sivina hainu b'mashkein sadeh, all of this is only by a field, shepa'amim eino seperos, because as Rashi had said, the only reason that he is willing to be makil in a case of lo without nechyasa, b'nechyasa is, and not call it, avak, is because Rashi thinks you're not even sure you're going to get it. But if it was a house, therefore, and you are going to get it, so then he says, it is going to be usur, because then it looks like ribis, v'shavak shemel yasapeir, v'yavik harulis harulahav said, av amashkin bayiz v'chatzer, shepeir osein, hainu adira, mitsuya tamid. It's very hard to not be able to rent out property, and therefore, I am guaranteed profit on BJ's loan. So therefore, Rashi ups it again, and because of Rashi, sha'asur na'filu b'nechiasa, then it'll be usur even with the symbolic deduction, v'chin gazav arambam, v'riv rabbeinu tam. But the Balayatozes are even more makil, and they say that even by a house, even where the rent is guaranteed, right? Let's say I'm going to rent it out for $2,000 a month, and I only deduct $2,000 a year, right? So according to Rashi, that's also Midir Rabbanan. According to Rian Rabbeinu Tam, even that is Mutter Lechatchila because of Nechiyas, because once you have even a symbolic deduction, is Mutter in parentheses, I put this at the end, that the Nesiva Shalom suggests that nowadays you'd have to flip this. That houses are not guaranteed, because we all know that someday, you know, for whatever reason, the housing market goes down, no one can sell their house, no one can rent the house, right? Because right now everyone's waiting the market out, and you go months at a time, right, where things are, right, unclear. It's not at all, right, it's not guaranteed, and therefore he thinks that rent nowadays would be mutter.
Or he's just saying that Rashi would be Mekel, like
right. I mean, Rashi would be Mekel, and he said right.
That the logic of Rashi,
right? So it, right? I mean, right. Just Rashi would agree to Rabbi Rabbeinu Tam that houses are exactly like it.
Did Sarecha? There was a shita that houses also didn't count.
Well, what Rashi and Tosfos argued about it in Sarecha also.
It's a chasm sofer.
All right, Rashi and Tosfos have a discussion of it there also. Then he says, okay, Vadoni Rashi Hiskel Das Rashi, Vafilo Das Rabbi Tam, because of the Achrayas, Oshana Chazav, Osir Shem Yipal Abayas, Miyadi Varabi Sharna Chazav, and Nimdashena Khan Hefsid. Rabbi Nutam will agree that it'll be Osir if I guarantee the rent, right? If I say, okay, either you'll get,
right? Insuring. It's like
right. Well, once I add insurance to the whole thing,
right.
So then, obviously, right, I've removed any form of danger, and therefore he'll agree with Rashi, it's Usser. Case F, Valmasha going in Idna, Sheruven, Mamashkin, Basil, Lishimon, Vilevi, Sochro, Mishimon. We're not going to do this now. We're not going to do this case. This case is a nightmare of a case. So let's just summarize what we saw then, until now. God Almighty. Okay, skip down to G then. Because I divide into units, I can just skip this whole unit here. G. Vafil ba'asid lo misalki. Im avra amava lo v'tchil zalva ki sheshibid lo nechazav ani rotza listag v'chol sha shetir tza yachol asago v'chol sha. Kevan sheomer kemitchil. That's where he saw in the Gemara that if you make an agreement, you can make whatever agreement you want, because that was the agreement. Right? H. Avon b'tchilas halva lo es nuklum el hashibid lo sadeh ustam v'chaz matemaz omer lo halva al menashe tesalkeim lo misalki lo mani afil lo dlamava. Right? If you didn't, then you can't make it later. Fine. I. Mashkanta Rasa de Misalke. If it's a place where you do kick people off, so then Ain Balchov Gova Menum Yorsha Malvis. So as already said, there aren't just implications for ribis, there's also implications for other ownership, namely Bechor, Shmita, and the like. And in J of Asr Delo Misalke, Bachov Gova Menu, Bechor Noto, Pishnaim Shvias Mishamata, as the Gemara already said. So again, just to summarize this nightmare of a Gemara and Rishonim. And like I said, normally for people who haven't been here, I don't just survey the Rishonim out of the tour, but here, even doing this, we ran out of time. The basic, what comes out from it, and you know, I gave you in 16 through what's really, I think, for time, but I don't think we're going to, you know, too much after it. I gave you Shulchan Aruch and the Nosei Kelim who flesh it out. But what's important to come out of the sugya with is, any case when I lent money to BJ, and BJ secured it with a mashkon, what we want to avoid is me getting back more money than I gave him. That's our goal, right? If it's a mashkanta desura, so everyone is mekel. Because in mashkanta desura, we basically transformed his mashkon into a lease, and in 10 years, I'm paid back, he gets back the property, that's fine. If it's a case where he can kick me off, or I can force him to kick me off, whatever you want to say, it shows that it's more in his property, and therefore it's more problematic. If we deduct from it, it's less problematic. If we don't deduct, it's obviously more problematic. How do you combine those factors? Well, according to the Rif, all cases are also except mashkanta desura. If you have tarta l'reyusa, if it's both efshar, right, efshar l'salik, and it's lo nechyasa, it's d'araisa. If you have one of either factor, meaning I can't kick him off, he can't kick me off, or we deduct, it's asr midirabbanan, but the only one that's mutter is mashkanta desura. Rashi thinks that mashkanta desura is mutter, and lo misalki is automatically mutter, because there's the possibility he won't get peros, and therefore he allows mashkon basa de lo misalke, even without nechiyasa, but only for fields and not for houses. Ri and Rabbeinu Tam are even more mekel and say, as long as he can't kick me off, then since no extra benefit is ever guaranteed, it is mutter, and therefore Rashi moves that down to mutter. Rashi moves, says if it's nechiyasa, it's always going to be mutter, and if it's asr de lo misalke, so then he allows it on fields, but not on houses. And Ri and Rabbeinu Tam say, anytime that it's lo misalke, it's mutter. Nechiyasa is mutter. Right? So While the Rif needed both litivusa, Balei HaTosfos need only chad litivusa for it to be mutter lechatchila. According to Rashi, you only need one, but only if it's a field. Because as long as you introduce unclarity, that will permit it. What you have after that is really Shulchan Aruch fleshing out which of these we paskin like, which we'll spend a few minutes on next week just saying which ones we paskin like. God. And then do some other mashkon things, which are, if you didn't, I know this is hard to believe, more impossible to understand than this sugya, but I'm going to try to just focus on a few cases. It may not work. It took me, I spent like 3 weeks on it. I'm still not sure I understand anything that I understand some of it.
Just let me know if I am going to be giving the following shiur, if I'm going to keep it going.
I don't want to keep on going. Even if we haven't finished, I want to just stop.